Today, finishing off this year, I'm going to be reading from the Aila Gita. This is spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. It's found in the 11th canto, part of the Uddhava Gita. And Aila is the name of Maharaj Purarava, whom we read about in the 9th canto, Pururava. Was a very great king who was married for some time to the heavenly damsel Urvasi, but then she left him, and when she left him, he became just completely bewildered by separation from her, forgot all his past devotional activities. But when he met her for a brief while in Kurukshetra, he received from the demigods the sacrificial fire, and he began to perform fruitive sacrifices, karmakanda, by which he was able to then be elevated to the same heavenly planet where Urvasi was. Anyway, when she first abandoned him, and then he had some semblance of sanity, so he sang this song, this Aila Gita, which goes thus. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Malakshanam Imam Kayam Labdva Madharma Astita Anandam Paramatmanam Atmastam Samupaitamam. The Supreme Personality of God had said, having achieved this human form of life which affords one the opportunity to realize me, and being situated in my devotional service, one can achieve me, the reservoir of all pleasure and the supreme soul of all existence, residing within the heart of every living being. A person fixed in transcendental knowledge is freed from conditional life by giving up his false identification. This is Krishna speaking, with the products of the material modes of nature. Seeing these products is simply illusion, he avoids entanglement with the modes of nature, although constantly among them. Because the modes of nature and their products are simply not real, he does not accept them. One should never associate with materialists, those dedicated to gratifying the genitals and bellies. By following them, one falls into the deepest pit of darkness, just like a blind man who follows another blind man. The following song was sung by the famous emperor Purarava when deprived of his wife, Urvashi. He was at first bewildered, but by controlling his lamentation, he began to feel detached. When she was leaving him, even though he was naked, he ran after her just like a madman and called out in great distress, "Oh, my wife, oh, terrible lady, please stop." Although for many years Purarava had enjoyed sex pleasure in the evening hours, still he was not satisfied by such insignificant enjoyment. His mind was so attached to Urvasi that he did not notice how the nights were coming and going. King Aila said, "Alas, just see the extent of my delusion. This goddess was embracing me and held my neck in her grip. My heart was so polluted by lust that I had no idea how my life was passing. That lady cheated me so much that I did not even see the rising or setting of the sun. Alas, for so many years I passed my days in vain. Alas, although I'm supposed to be a mighty emperor, the crown jewel of all kings on this earth, just see how my bewilderment has rendered me a toy animal in the hands of women. Although I was a powerful lord with great opulence, that woman gave me up as if I were no more than an insignificant blade of grass. And still, naked and without shame, I followed her, crying out to her like a madman. Where are my so-called great influence, power, and serenity? Just like an ass being kicked in the face by his she-ass, I ran after that woman who had already given me up. What is the use of a big education or the practice of austerities and renunciation? And what is the use of studying religious scriptures, of living in solitude and silence, if after all that, one's mind is stolen by a woman? To hell with me. I'm such a fool that I did not know what was good for me. Although I arrogantly thought I was highly intelligent, although I achieved the exalted position of a lord, I allowed myself to be conquered by women as if I were a bullock or a jackass. Even after I had served the so-called nectar of the lips of Urvasi for many years, my lusty desire kept rising again and again within my heart and were never satisfied, just like a fire that can never be extinguished by the oblations of ghee poured into its flames. who but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lies beyond material perception and is the Lord of self-satisfied sages, can possibly save my consciousness, which has been stolen by a prostitute? Because I allowed my intelligence to become dull, and because I failed to control my senses, the great confusion in my mind did not go away, even though Urvashi herself gave me my wise counsel with well-spoken words. How can I blame her for my trouble when I myself am ignorant of my real spiritual nature? I did not control my senses. And so I am like a person who mistakenly sees a harmless rope as a snake. What is this polluted body anyway, so filthy and full of bad odors? I was attracted by the fragrance and beauty of a woman's body, but what are those so-called attractive features? They are simply a false covering created by illusion. One can never decide what is property, whose property the body actually is. Does it belong to one's parents who have given birth to it, to one's wife who gives it pleasure, or to one's employer who orders the body around? Is it the property of the funeral fire or the dogs and jackals who may ultimately devour it? Is it the property of the indwelling soul who partakes in its happiness and distress? Or does the body belong to intimate friends who encourage and help it? Although man never definitely ascertains the proprietor of the body, he becomes most attached to it. The material body is a polluted material form heading towards a lowly destination. Yet when a man stares at the face of a woman, he thinks, "What a good-looking lady. What a charming nose she's got, and see her beautiful smile." What difference is there between ordinary worms and persons who try to enjoy this material body composed of skin, flesh, blood, muscle, fat, marrow, bones, stool, urine, and pus? Because the mind is not disturbed by that which is neither seen nor heard, the mind of a person who restricts the material senses will automatically be checked in its material activities and become pacified. Therefore, one should never let his senses associate freely with women or with men attached to women. Even those who are highly learned cannot trust the six enemies of the mind. What to speak then of foolish persons like me? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having thus chanted this song, Maharaj Pururava, eminent amongst the demigods and human beings, gave up the position he had achieved in the planet of Urvasi. His illusion cleansed away by transcendental knowledge. He understood me to be the supreme soul within his heart, and so at last achieved peace. An intelligent person should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. My devotees fix their minds on me and do not depend upon anything material. They are always peaceful, endowed with equal vision, and free from possessiveness, false ego, duality, and greed. O greatly fortunate Uddhava, in the association of such saintly devotees there is constant discussion of me, and those partaking in this chanting and hearing of my glories are certainly purified of all sins. Whoever hears, chants, and respectfully takes to heart these topics about me becomes faithfully dedicated to me and thus achieves my devotional service. What more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving devotional service unto me, the Supreme Absolute Truth, whose qualities are innumerable and who am the embodiment of all ecstatic experience? Just as cold, fear, and darkness are eradicated for one who has approached the sacrificial fire, so dullness, fear, and ignorance are destroyed for one engaging in the service, in serving the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in absolute knowledge, are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material existence. Such devotees are like, just like a strong boat that comes to rescue persons who are at the point of drowning. Just as food is the life of all creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for the distressed, and just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, so my devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into a miserable condition of life. My devotees bestow divine eyes, whereas the sun allows only external sight, and that only when it is risen in the sky. My devotees are one's real worshipable deities and real family. They are one's own self, and ultimately they are no different from me. Thus, losing his desire to be on the same planet as Urvasi, Maharaj Pururava began to wander the earth, free of all material association and completely satisfied within the self. Nice meditation with which to conclude this year and begin another year. A meditation of detachment, as a footnote, whatever here can be said about materialistic men's connection with materialistic women applies equally for that which can be said by materialistic women about materialistic men. Therefore, men and women are both situated on the spiritual platform, on the platform of Krishna consciousness, should avoid such attachment and should associate with each other on the basis of spiritual vision, seeing each other as devotees of the Lord, assisting each other in service to Guru and Krishna with the intent of achieving perfection and going back home, back to Godhead, such as Krishna conscious family life. Hare Krishna.